Because we are. The meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board of the City of Winter Park for October 5th, 2021 shall come to order. Let me begin by stating that the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Board is to review and make a recommendation on conditional uses, subdivisions, comprehensive plan amendments, land development code amendments, rezonings, and other ordinances affecting the development of property, and to make final decisions on applications for lakefront home approval. Any decision regarding lakefront homes under the city code section 58-87 is under the purview of this board, and the board's vote is a final decision that will not be heard by the city commission. The city commission will consider the board's recommendations made tonight on other public hearing items on Wednesday, October 27th, 2021 at 3:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as may be heard, and the City Commission will make the final decision on such matters. You are encouraged to keep apprised on the status of such matters going before the City Commission by reviewing the City's website and upcoming City Commission meeting agenda. The meeting will proceed as follows. The Chair or staff will announce each public hearing item as it appears on the agenda, which is available outside the front door. Staff will begin by making a presentation on each item and will provide the staff's recommendation. Next, we will hear from the applicant. After that, the floor will be open to the public for anyone who wishes to speak in support or in opposition to the request. After public comment, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the public comments. Please approach the podium and state your name and address for the record. With the exception of ordinances proposing comprehensive plan amendments and land development code amendments, the public hearing matters coming before the board are mostly quasi-judicial in nature. For quasi-judicial matters, the board considers the testimony and evidence in the record at the hearing and determines whether the applicable criteria for approval has been met. The testimony that you give to the board should be fully truthful in the same manner as if you were given sworn testimony in a court of law. In the interest of time, we ask that each person appearing before the board limit their comments to one appearance of 3 minutes. Large groups are asked to name a spokesperson. We ask that your testimony be relevant to the public hearing matter to which you are speaking and avoid repeating arguments and testimony made by yourself or others. Order and decorum will be preserved at all times. Please address all your comments to the board and not to the audience. After all public input, the public comment period will be closed. The board members will then discuss and we will vote on a recommendation to the City Commission with any conditions that may be appropriate. Please turn off or silence all mobile devices during these public hearings. The first item of business is the approval of the September 7th, 2021 meeting minutes. Anybody have any concerns about the meeting minutes of September 7th? I have a motion to approve.
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Chairman, we need a roll call.
You got to have a roll call on the meeting minutes? Okay.
Ms. Vickers?
Approve.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes. Is my mic on?
Yep.
Now it is.
Vice Chair Borenstein?
Yes.
Chairman James?
Yes. Okay, the first item is the Sustainability Action Plan update. Vanessa?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we're gonna invite Vanessa Balta, who is our sustainability manager, to give an update. And I believe for action of recommendation for the Sustainability Action Plan, which has been worked on for a very long time. Their team has put a lot of time and effort into this. And so We are happy to have her present that tonight, but while I've got everyone's attention, want to make sure that if anyone here is for annexation 2102, the request down on Korean Drive or Northwood Terrace, that item, just want to make sure everybody understands, has been continued to the November 2nd meeting. And I know that there will be a lot of people at that meeting. So if anyone is here for that item, that will not be heard tonight. Just want to make sure that you are free to stick around and watch an exciting Planning and Zoning Board meeting, but we will not be hearing that item tonight.
Great. Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you to the board members. Appreciate being put on the agenda first. I know you have a lot to go through, so I will be as brief as possible. So my name is Vanessa Balta. I'm with the City of Winter Park Sustainability Program. The city passed a sustainability action plan back in 2015. We actually met with you as well last year and are coming back to you with revisions that we got from a lot of different boards. As you can see on the slide, we've spoken to a lot of city boards. This is our roadshow and you're our last one. So thank you so much. We really have taken the time to revise any kind of baselines or any kind of methodologies that we needed to pin down in a better way so that we can replicate this over the next 5 years. We have also changed our categories a bit, split them up to be very clear when we're talking about energy, when we're talking about water, and we've also added a category on climate resiliency that speaks very specifically to the different things that we can do to make our great city more resilient. And we've also included actions that relate to racial equity, which is something that has been very important in a lot of sustainability offices across the country. So the plan that you had before you that was included in your agenda, I'm not going to go through it. It was many pages, as someone earlier mentioned, it was a very large packet this time. However, I really hope that you were able to take a look through it. And I have a couple slides here that kind of give you some of the main objectives. My master's is in planning, so I know that every part of this plan is impacted by planning. So if I had to bullet, you know, I've gone to all of these different boards and I bullet kind of, you know, what's relevant to them, I would bullet the entire plan for you. So I did not do that. I kind of just grabbed some of the objectives. We've worked, you know, hand in hand with our planning department and, you know, with Allison before she left. And so we have definitely taken the time to go through and see things that put in things that we think are feasible. Some of the other boards that we've spoken to include Economic Development, Utilities Advisory Board, Transportation Advisory Board. So we've taken this to a lot of Parks and Rec, trees. So lots of different people that we've spoken to and lakes as well. If I can get the next slide. And we also incorporated, I'm sorry, if you go back one more slide, I forgot to mention, you know, we did also do a community survey and got some great responses from our residents. And we also reached out to community organizations who work on things like sustainability and hoping to understand where their priorities are. And that includes folks like the Nature Conservancy that's local up in Maitland and League of Women Voters Orange County, as well as Ideas for Us Orlando. Next slide. So I do like to kind of start with this, you know, very large picture of what does sustainability mean? Because for some folks, you know, it's a very large word and it can mean a lot of different things, and it really does. But the main thing that we think about is our definition that we created in 2015, which is when we promote this idea of a responsible and proactive decision-making that minimizes the negative impacts and maintains balance between social, environmental, and economic growth to ensure a desirable planet for all of the species now and in the future. And, you know, just kind of when people think of, you know, just in three words, it's people, planet, prosperity. How can we have all of this together? Next slide. So as you can see here, I've put a couple different objectives for each of these. I'm not going to go through all of them. I hope you've had an opportunity to at least read our slides and our plan. Really what I'm here for is to have a chat with you to understand, you know, are there things on here that you would want updated? Are there things you think we're missing? Are there things that look great, you know, and then, you know, we'll move on to our next roadshow, which is the city commission at the end of the month. But as you can see, there are a lot of different things related to, of course, how we build the resiliency of our city in terms of climate change, how we ensure, which is what you work on every single day, a healthy, livable, and sustainable community for our current generations and our future generations, as well as how we have this bigger impact in terms of our regional impact of greenhouse gases and how we're able to reduce those. Of course, you can't talk about greenhouse gases without talking about energy and transportation. We've definitely talked to our boards there in regards to how we can tackle renewables in our energy portfolio, as well as electrification in our transportation. And we are actually currently under the communications department. I forgot to mention Craig O'Neill is here, our assistant director of communications and community outreach, as well as our chair, Ben Ellis, is on the line. So we're currently under communications, and so we will be moving eventually to a new natural resources department, which we're really excited about. So that's something else that is, you know, just one part of our sustainability action plan. So just to kind of give you, you know, a general idea of what is in this plan. If you want to go to the next slide. And then targets. Again, if I had to summarize this entire plan, it would be the entire plan, but I tried to grab a couple for you there. So you can see the different things that we're trying to track, you know, in 5 years, in 15 years. And so, you know, how we're doing in terms of renewables, how we're doing in terms of greenhouse gases, how we're doing in terms of energy usage intensity, in other words, you know, energy per square footage, water usage, so gallons per square footage. How is that changing over time in our community? And of course, looking at our very important natural resources, our trees, our green spaces, our gray space, how is that changing? Definitely impacted by this planning board. So I'm really thankful for having this time to chat with you. Next slide. I think I might have one more. And then this is just kind of the different actions, which this is more of like a staff, you know, more of an internal, so they can see the different things that they will, that we'll be working on together on some of these projects. We're the lead, on others, they're the lead. So that's just kind of a, you know, snapshot that we'll be updating and providing to our staff every year, so they have an idea of what we're working on. Next slide. And I think that's it, right? Awesome. So if you wanna go back to the objective slides, and I will, and I really would love to hear from you. Just what you think. Thank you.
Well, Vanessa, I've been watching this grow since I was on Utility Advisory Board. Back then, it was a couple of scraps of paper. It's become quite impressive. In reading through it, I appreciate how you have now got far more granularity in it that helps the various components and organizations figure out where they play and where they don't play. So I think it looks good, but that's me personally. Does anybody else on my board have any comments they'd like to make?
Just out of curiosity, does this lead into some sort of budget cycle ask, particularly on, I guess my interest is on the energy side. I don't know how many energy retrofits the city has done on government buildings, but after the action plan is updated, do you guys kind of go through a budget cycle where you ask for monies for different types of projects? Yeah, or what's kind of next?
That's definitely the next step. We have in the current, the budget that's gonna, that was just approved, we have monies that the commission approved to do energy audits of all of our city facilities. So that's the kind of the first step. Then there'll be asks for more money, of course. and the main one being we need to create, if the city is going to commit to a renewables commitment of 100% renewable energy for all of our electricity by 2035, we need to create a plan for that. So monies will be set aside for creating a proposal to get us to that pathway to 100% renewable. We are definitely interested. We're excited with this new move to a natural resources and sustainability department, because that'll allow us to have kind of more, you know, capital improvement planning, you know, be able to look out, you know, 10, 15, 25 years. So we're really excited about the changes.
Yeah, very good. That's really my only question. I was just curious, kind of once this is in place, how we see that or how the commission sees that moving forward.
And,
so,
yeah, and there are several action items that the planning department is involved in that will probably come to you as a board for approval as an ordinance in some way as well. Different kind of areas, but yeah.
Just another question. Yep. Is the city thinking of any of promoting any initiatives to promote solar in residential, not just in city properties, but in residential properties, whether it was incentives or energy buyback or anything like that?
Yeah, so the city does have net metering and we provide a permit flat rate fee for solar. It's not based on valuation. We actually do it as a flat rate. So that allows some folks to have, you know, some incentive there. We work cooperatively with the solar co-op to get the word out about these collaboratives that are happening in the region to help people basically purchase as a collective and get a better price and be able to get a better deal and, you know, technical requirements. I know that the utility is definitely always looking at, you know, the potential impact of solar. They haven't discussed anything relative to an incentive or anything like that, but that's not to say they might not in the future, but it is something that's on definitely their radar. For now, net metering is probably the best thing that we have available to our residents and the flat rate permit.
Well, I guess you've got 6 thumbs up. Nods.
Appreciate that.
4 yeses.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any citizens here that wish to address the board for items that are not on the agenda? Okay. Mary, anybody online that's...
Yes, we have 2 attendees in the queue. If any of the attendees would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and I will unmute you. There are no hands raised.
Okay, well then I will, seeing nobody eagerly running to the podium, I will close citizen comments for non-agenda topic items. Are there any non-action items? I don't see any of those. And I don't think we have any action items, so we might as well turn it over to Jeff and SPR 2109.
Okay, the first item on our agenda is a request to approve a new 2-story house at 797 Pine Tree Road. I know I mentioned to all of you that I thought this item was going to be tabled and pulled by staff because we had a disagreement with the 2 neighbors over stormwater. Your water's coming on my property. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. But this afternoon, we worked out the solution in terms of a condition of approval. So rather than make these homeowners wait a month, we're at a position where we have consensus amongst the 2 parties who are so much in consensus that they're not here tonight. And so we can move forward on this item with that condition. But as you know, these are, I'm having to use a mouse tonight that if I can find my pointer, if you can slide that. Oh, there I am. This is the location of the property. It's got the racquet club to the north with a 10-foot wall between them and the property in order to provide privacy for them. So it was the property owner to the south that had interest. It's vacant now. And here's the site plan. And while there is adequate retention shown on this plan to accomplish the code requirements, what was at issue was existing grades. And so the resolution between the 2 neighbors is that this can be approved with a condition that there be a physical barrier, either a wall or a FDOT type D curb, which I'll explain in a minute, which will form an effective barrier so that no water can come from the subject property onto the neighbor's property. There is a stormwater pipe that goes down part of the property line, so we can't dig a footer for the kind of privacy wall that this applicant wants, because it would be dug too deep and impact the pipe. But to build that FDOT type D curb, which I have learned is a specification of 6 inches tall and no more than 9 inches below grade, there is no harm to the city pipe. So staff will be recommending approval with that condition attached to it, because all of the other aspects of this request are clean. There's no impact on any trees on the property. There is no impact of view, because this house is actually behind that neighbor's, and also with the racquet club to the north. We don't have any grade issues. This is a very flat lot. So all of those issues are taken care of. Thus, as I said, staff is recommending approval with that condition that a wall or FDOT type D curb be installed in order to preclude water from going from subject property onto the property to the south. So that, I'll see if there's any questions. Again, we don't have applicant or neighbors here.
Anybody got any questions for Jeff? You guys are too easy tonight. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak on this? And doesn't appear to be. Mary, anybody online that's got their hand raised?
No, we still have two attendees in the queue. If any would like to speak, please raise your hand. There are no raised hands.
Okay, we'll close public comments. Board, you got anything to chat about here? No? Okay, who wants to make a motion to approve with conditions? Alex, you look like you're eager to speak.
I wondered if that qualified as a motion, what you said right there. I was ready to second. I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
To approve SPR 21-09 request for approval to construct a new two-story single-family home located at 797 Pine Tree Road.
With condition?
With a condition that they...
As outlined by staff.
Thank you.
Second.
Ms. Sarkisian?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Vice Chair Borenstein?
Yes.
Chairman James?
Yes.
Okay, the next site plan review is one for Matthew Morgan to construct a new home out of 1214 North Park Avenue on Lake Maitland, which is out on 12 Oaks. And arrows down here. Lunge. Help me in IT without a clicker. There's where the subject property is. Getting a pop-up menu instead of the... So here's the aerial, and what's important about the aerial is that you note that this older home has a previous screen pool enclosure that is going out in front of what is our mandatory 50-foot setback. So actually this new home then is coming into conformance with observing the 50-foot setback, meaning all the above grade improvements are being pulled back, the screen enclosure is gone, in other words. So we're actually getting more of the lakefront open and landscaped and natural than we have today with this existing house. It is a flat lot, so we do not have any issues with grades that we deal with or retaining walls in terms of the pool or pool patio. There are no trees that are being impacted by this. As you can see in the aerial, the location of the home is at the 50-foot setback, but you can see the home to the left is not impacted by that view of pulling back equal. And certainly the home to the right, to the top, is already in front. So there is no impact on view to those existing properties who, of course, been noticed and provided plans. The application is really very clean. They're providing stormwater retention as required by code to a property that has none now. And so we're actually reducing our impervious coverage on this lot compared to what exists today. So staff's recommendation is for approval.
Any questions for Jeff on this one? Okay, seeing none, is the applicant here? Does the applicant wish to speak? How about public comment? Mary, anybody online with their hand up?
No, we have three attendees online. If any attendee would like to speak, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. There are no raised hands.
Okay, we'll close public comments.
Sure, I'd like to make a motion to approve SPR 21-10, the request of Matthew Morgan, to construct a new two-story single-family home located at 1214 North Park Avenue.
I'll second.
Mary?
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bornstein?
Yes.
And Chairman James?
Yes.
Okay, our next site plan review is a request of Conkle Homes, construct a new two-story single family home at 1395 Alberta Drive, which is on Lake Osceola. And here is the location of the subject property. This is an aerial view of the existing home that is to be removed. And this aerial is important because as you see this existing home in its current location is, to whatever extent it is, providing the openness of views to the two adjacent neighbors. So in the design of this new home, they have not moved it any closer, not an inch closer to the lake, in order to ensure that even with a larger home, it is not impacting either of the neighbors' view because it is exactly at the lakefront setback that exists today for the current home. The new home is slightly larger, so it is coming a few feet closer to the street, but it is not going closer to the lake in terms of our charge to protect the traditional views of the lake. This is a fairly steep lot, and so there are challenges in terms of conveyance of water and holding the water on site. And to that degree, the neighbor who is to the left, to the west, currently has problems from this existing property of water leaving it and going on to their property during rainfall events. So the charge to the designers on this one was to make sure that we cure the drainage issues so there is no impact from this house, which is a larger house, of any water going on to the adjacent neighbors' properties. And so on the left-hand side of this site plan, where the house is, you see a heavy dark line, which is a new retaining wall, 12, 18 inches above grade, that will form a dam barrier that will not allow then any runoff from this property to go onto the neighbors and cure the problem that exists today. You see in the front, that wall stops where the existing neighbor's wall is. It's my understanding from conversations this afternoon that this applicant has agreed to extend their wall out to the street so that the neighbor may or may not remove their wall if they choose. And that neighbor is asking the applicant for confirmation of that verbal agreement that was made when they met. But even though water doesn't go through walls, they are backing up this insurance to control their water by piping the runoff from the gutters down into a pipe below ground to make sure all of that is carried around the house down to the retention area there on the lakefront. And this is a similar scenario that they're doing on the right-hand side, on the east side of the property, where you see a heavy black line on that site plan, again, to make sure that they are controlling their water, not putting on their neighbors. There will be a low retaining wall again to corral and hold the water on site. And you'll note that line's a little bit off the property line because there are three nice oak trees that have grown up on that property line. And so by moving it off, those trees can be protected. Those, as well as the cypress that's on the lakefront, will remain, and no other trees are on the site that will be impacted. Touched on view of the neighbors, how that's being taken care of. It's going to be exactly what they have today. And lastly, this is a house with a basement because we have a steep enough grade that at the lakefront, you can do a walkout basement, have living area below. And so they're taking advantage of that grade rather than just having a blank stem wall or something else on that lakeside. So this plan does solve the existing drainage problem that exists, and it protects both properties from getting any drainage impacts, again, given the speed and steepness of the lot as it goes down the side property line. So staff is recommending approval of this, and we'll answer any questions that you have. The applicant is here along with the builders to answer your questions as well.
Are both retaining walls being built by this applicant?
Correct.
The east and west.
He said all stormwater is being diverted underground and run back to that pond on the north end. Is that correct? All everything's yes. Underground from the gutter system?
Yes.
Okay.
Questions for Jeff? Does the applicant wish to speak? Okay. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak on this subject? Yes, sir. Need to come to the podium. Need to fill out eventually at some point a yellow card to give to Mary so that we'll spell your name right in a minute.
Property owner to the left
is speaking to the microphone so we could all hear you.
Well, I'm still wearing my mask. I hope it works. The only additional thing, two additional things. One is that the retaining wall, as talked about now, which the property owners, the builders are doing, they're extending it from the road down through the front yard and then along the house, but there is still another 40 feet. I talked to Jeff about it briefly, and I've now heard there's a thing, thank goodness I came, an FDOT curb or something, which is great to know because there is a sewer easement, sanitary easement for a 10 feet or whatever. And then there's another 15, 20 feet. Right now, boy, it's hard for you to visualize it, but that area has shifted several of their property shifted into our yard. It's not just water. It's a pretty strong water. And so their property has slid over several feet. Foliage, they had, for example, a chain link fence. Chain link fence was leans over like this, and the footer, which is about, you know, a foot, 2-3 feet of concrete, hanging in the air over. So it's not just water. So I've talked to the builder. He said he's going to try to do something about that. He's going to talk to his clients. So if we had a retaining wall and or an FDOT curb in the proper place, it would help both of us because they can keep their plants, their privacy fence, whatever they want to do on their side, and we can enjoy our side without having them, their property sliding onto ours. So it'd benefit both of us. And the only other thing which really amazed me was that it says it's a 7,763 square foot home. Currently there's a 3,000 square foot home there. The builder gave me plans for a 6,062 foot home, which is better than the 7,700. I talked to Jeff and he said, oh, that was just an error ago about what the builder said. And this isn't for this hearing tonight to decide that issue. But since it's in there, I wanted to make sure that this, the builder is agreeing that it's a 6,083 square foot home. To us, that's a huge difference of 1,700 square feet up from a 6,083 to a 7,700. We live there. We've lived there 12 years. Lived in Winter Park all our lives. We plan to die there. So, yeah, the size of the house does matter. So, thank you for your time. Oh, by the way, Nick at the city was the one we talked to most of the time. A real gentleman. He was terrific. And the builder here, David, is very communicative to us. So it's working well, I think. We're not arguing. We're trying to make it both a very enjoyable life for both of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Would the builder, being the applicant, like to comment on what the public comments were?
If I could for a moment, Mr. Chairman, just as a reminder, the Planning and Zoning Board does have the four criteria. It's easy to get into the architectural details and size, but obviously it's going to be regulated by floor area ratio. We're looking at the trees, we are looking at the runoff, we are looking at the view shed, and that sort of thing. So
right.
There's no situation. They're not asking for a variance to exceed the allowable floor area ratio. And also, Winter Park counts a lot more things for floor area ratio than most other places. So it will be within the allowable floor area ratio.
Thank you, David Conkle, Conkle Custom Homes. We agreed to extend the retaining wall to the west, to the sidewalk. And we're also willing to extend the retaining wall from the existing end of it towards the lake, for what the city of Winter Park will allow. And the I think Jeff already addressed the square footage issue. No other comments?
Questions for the applicant? So is it a 7,700 square foot or a 6,000 square foot home?
6,000. It's 6,000.
Thank you. Thank you. Discussion topics, guys and girls.
Is there any regulations we need to be aware of that would limit the extent of the retaining wall heading northward towards the lake, some sort of lake setback, or how would that be decided by staff?
So it's the same scenario as the previous application. That was a drainage pipe, is a sanitary sewer, but with the curb just going 9 inches down, it's not going to impact the sanitary sewer line. And so we could do that on the lakefront. Obviously the applicant wanted to stay out of the easement, so they didn't propose anything in the first place.
Michael, you've been kind of quiet. Would you like to make a motion?
Oh, sure. I'll make a motion to approve SPR 21-11 request of Conkle Homes to construct a new two-story single-family home at 1395 Alberta Drive.
I'll second.
Thank you. Mary?
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bornstein?
Yes.
Chairman Jane?
Yes.
Okay, the last lakefront site plan review we have is a request to Daryl Carter for approval of additions to his home at 740 Palmer Avenue that includes a new garage, porte-cochere, and swimming pool located on Lake Osceola. Here's a location of the property right adjacent to the Venetian Canal on the north shore of Lake Osceola. Here is an aerial. What is different about this application than virtually anyone we ever see up here is that they're saving the house, renovating and adding on instead of a demolition, which is wonderful to see.
It's very sustainable as well.
Here's the site plan of the proposed changes. You see before in the aerial, the house did not have any swimming pool. So there is one proposed on the lakeside, as well as to the bottom of the site plan, a cabana building there on the same bottom of the site plan. Out front is the new garage addition, partly one story, partly two story. And then if you look to the top of the site plan where the green is, which is the existing driveway area, they want to cover that with a single car carport, porte-cochere, as part of the improvements. Initially, when I looked at this application, I was concerned about the pool cabana building being out front of the neighbor, potentially blocking views. But upon the site visit and learning that there's been quite a bit of communication between the owners on both sides, there has been extensive landscaping, more than landscaping, I guess. We really sort of call it more of a jungle going down that property line, which the new owners have cleaned out, much to the pleasure and happiness of the adjacent property owner, who now has some lake view where they had nothing except the tunnel of their property. So this is a picture of what's still there, in addition to what will be supplemented with a new landscape plan. But the neighbor is not concerned about the pool and pool cabana blocking their view. They have more view now than they've had before. And to that end, put before you is an email received yesterday from that owner saying that they have reviewed the plans and are in agreement with these requests. The only issue on this is that, and perhaps that's not the word to use, but the porte-cochere on the top of the site plan is shown at a 20-foot setback to the canal. The regular code for houses is a 50-foot setback, so they're asking for a variance. Of course, it is not a house, it is an open porte-cochere, and so, which is different. Also different, of course, is it's on top of existing driveway area. And I'm flipping through some pictures of the canal to give you an idea of the landscape screening that exists between this property and the adjacent property, which is significant in terms of the screening and even the ability to see the porte-cochere. This is the paved area that I was talking about, existing driveway. You see the basically 6-foot dense hedge that does exist, and you can see back behind it all of the landscaping that exists against the canal. So in staff's mind, this structure will not be visible from the adjacent neighbor. However, he does not share that view. You have an email in front of you where he is supporting a 25-foot setback versus the 20 that's requested. The applicant is going to address why it can't be moved any closer to the house and the design examinations that they have gone through. Again, from the staff's perspective, I don't see the visual impact. The home across the canal, built way before we had a 50-foot lakefront setback, is at a similar 20-foot setback to the canal. So it seemed reasonable to staff that an open porte-cochere 20 feet away could be the same as on the other side of the canal where the house is 20 feet away. Again, all of the other criteria are being satisfied. They aren't removing any trees, tons of room to do stormwater retentions. And it is wonderful again to see a renovation versus a tear down. So staff is recommending approval.
Can you go back to the site plan? Mm-hmm. So the canal is on the left side.
Canal's at the top of the drawing, and you see that little dimensional indicating so the 20 foot to the edge of the
carport.
Yeah, carport slash porte-cochere. So the applicants are here. They can explain in more detail any other questions you might have.
Okay, would the applicant like to speak, please?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thank you, Jeff, for the presentation. I didn't plan on making a presentation. I didn't want to belabor or test your patience with that. We're certainly here to answer any questions, but apparently, if you would like for us to speak to that, we can. I have with me our builder, Derek Koger, and Joe Knight, our landscape architect. And we put together, an award-winning team to lovingly restore a Gamble Rogers home that my wife fell in love with the day we set foot in it. And I didn't really know that was going to happen to me, but we bought the home from the Tuckers and we're thrilled to be in working on this in Winter Park. You needed my address. Do you want my current address or do you want my future address?
Current
2614 North Westmoreland Drive, Orlando, 32804, and hopefully soon to be at 740 Palmer. So would you like for Derek Koger to talk to you? But we did actually try to look at moving the porte-cochere. And one of your P&Z members asked about the location of it. It's actually on the, it's not where those two cars are parked. It's in the little green shaded area right next door to the house. It's kind of hard to see because there are little squares that represent the columns. It's just an open air porte-cochere. If I had a little clicker, I could point at it for you. But it's
up there. They're just little,
little squares indicating where the columns are going to go.
Yeah,
in the green shaded area. It's right next to the existing house.
It does too.
But we did try to move it over 5 feet. We tried to shrink the width of the porte-cochere to try to be address our future neighbors' concerns, and also shrink the separation between the home and the open air porte-cochere. But for reasons that my builder and Joe could explain better than me, we don't like it as much. If we could go back to the front elevation that was in Mr. Briggs' packet, then if you'd like for me to, I've asked Derek Coger to step up and say a few words. And we're here to answer any other questions that might come up, and appreciate you your consideration, and I hope that you'll support what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Derek Coger. When the Carters were looking at purchasing this piece of property, they tasked our design and build team to preserve the integrity of the Gamble Rogers architecture. Has been a very sensitive issue to them that we maintain that. And so as we're doing the remodel, as well as the new parts of the home, we've tried to keep the proportions and scales using the historical precedents of Gamble Rogers. In our conversations with the Carters, the existing home has a two-car garage, and that's it. And the Carters, you know, with the families today, they, you know, usually a three cars is desired. So the only option was to go forward towards the street with another enclosed, making that garage bigger, making that wing bigger. And we advised against that. It's bulky, it's getting out of proportion, it's going towards the street further. And so we devised the porte-cochere ideal on the side of the home. And in the spirit of cooperation, when we were notified by the Carters that the neighbor to the north was asking for a 5-foot reduction in this area, in the spirit of cooperation, the Carters asked us to go back and test this. And originally, we never designed this to make it 1 foot bigger or 1 foot smaller than it really needed to be. It's really was designed to meet the composition of the rest of the structure and the new structure. But we wanted to satisfy Daryl's request. So we went back and did it. And the porte-cochere went from 14.8 to 11.8, taking 3 feet out and then 2 feet out of the breezeway, which is the connector between the main house and the porte-cochere. And that's all we could bear. And it's just not ideal. We felt like it's compromised the composition of the front of the home. The homes were very palatial in the front. It's more right to left, panoramically speaking. And when that structure becomes that narrow, it becomes more vertical looking, and it seems to be in conflict with the composition of the rest of the home. Also at 11'8" wide, when you open a car door, you're now banging post, and it's something that's also, with it being an open air carport, you want to be able to pull in, get out, take groceries out, and not be fighting the door and all that. So we did test it. We don't recommend it, but it was very important to the Carters that we exhaust every effort. And they're always in a spirit of cooperation mood with us, their neighbors, and everybody we've ever dealt with. So that's what we did. But it, again, it's less than ideal. I really think it would actually hurt the presence from the street. I think you can see the elevation. You've got to have that breezeway connector. You just can't slam that porte-cochere against the house. That's going to squish down. It's going to look almost a little odd because there's not enough relief between the porte-cochere and the house. It's going to affect that. And then when you bring the porte-cochere in, you can see the sides of the person standing there as a scale. it's not a good situation. So that was our finding. Is there any other questions I can answer? Or?
So you said that you've already shrunk?
No, this is the original.
Oh, this is the original.
This is the original. That's how it would look if we stay as planned. We right. did a test on it. I don't have it in elevation, but we tested it on site, on plan, and then, you know, of course, we know what it's going to look like because we know how to draw the elevations. It's tight. Everything's just jammed. It's almost like trying to get 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag in that scenario. And we felt very strongly that we were really giving a great relief to that end of the home to end the residence towards the canal right there with an open air, you know, design rather than another solid structure. That's
Question, and maybe I may ask something from the applicant. I like the idea of the open portico share. I think that takes it takes the burden of views and encumbrance off the property. But would you all commit, would the owner commit to leaving it as an open portico share, not enclosing it in the future? I think there, you know, a concern might be from neighbors that it become enclosed at some point and then become more of a blocky structure.
Sure. That would be Daryl.
You can answer that for me.
Well, you know, and that's another point with the whole design concept of the portico share to it. They're really talking about two posts. They're not looking at a wall of any type. So it's absolute minimal impact. That's why I don't think the 5 feet has any benefit perception wise from that distance, nor does it benefit the Carters. So.
Mr. Bornstein, good question, and there's no intent at all, and I know you didn't suggest that there was, but there's no intent for us to parlay this into a future enclosed structure. I like the way it looks, and so I want it to stay open, and I think it's beautiful, and so that we want it to look like that, and we'll keep it that way. So that's a good question, though, but thank you.
I would also offer that nothing Daryl's doing is cheap. It really probably would be easier to knock it down and build a new house. I mean, what he's incurring, the Carter family, was tearing out and demoing inside and structural issues and the Gamble Rogers architecture, as great as it was, the home was very old. And what the Carters are going to be doing here is reviving a great looking home that needs a lot of love and care, and then adding some new elements to it. But it's not the cheapest thing in the world to do, but they're very historically minded and they're very committed to it. And if I was a resident of Winter Park, I would love to have a family that has that kind of passion towards this. And it's just not a house. It's important to them to restore it as it was designed.
Just out of curiosity, what is the year of the home?
I think 1955. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Is anybody from the public here that wants to speak for or against this application? Other than emails, this is what we've gotten. Thank you. Mary, you got anybody out there in Cyberland?
Yes, Chairman, we have 4 people in the queue. If anyone would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and I can unmute you. There are no raised hands.
Okay, then we'll close public comments. Board discussion.
If I may.
Go ahead.
You may.
I would just like to say thanks for taking this on. I redid a 1929 that had to be a gut job, and it's got a pretty narrow little portico share. I like what you're doing with it. I know it'll be a lot of work, but Gamble Rogers is an important part of this community. I'm a friend of Jack Rogers, and I'm sure he would appreciate it as well. It's a beautiful home, so I like it. Thank you.
I agree. I think, you know, variances are granted when circumstances force that. And I think they're trying to maintain proportion. Kind of, not hard mirror the dormers. And I think they did a great job with the design. So I think this is a good case to consider something like this.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in? Vashon, would you like to make a motion, please?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve number 2112, request for Daryl Carter for approval of additions to existing home at 740 Palmer Avenue to include a new garage, porte cochere, and swimming pool cabana on Lake Osceola.
Second.
Give it to Jeff.
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkisian?
Yes.
Chair, Vice Chair Bornstein?
Yes.
Chairman Jane?
Yes.
Okay.
Real quick, Jeff, just for clarification, since there was a variance in that, that was just already part of the package.
Inclusive, right? Yes. Okay, that ends our site plan reviews for the evening. We have next item on our agenda is a public hearing on a ordinance that is been sponsored by the City Commission for your review and recommendation dealing with the topic of superseding clauses and what that means. Perhaps would be easier to be specific in the context that when we were dealing with the Henderson Hotel project, what the words of the comp plan policy and the zoning change said was that to the extent there are any other conflicts in the code that we may not know about, that these provisions supersede those as a catch-all to anything and everything we might have missed or forgotten to say we are amending. And the City Commission simply feels that we should be transparent. We should know what we're amending and changing, and we should specify it and not just have a catch-all for anything that may be out there. The city attorney at their direction, Dan, has prepared this ordinance. So any of the technical aspects of it, Dan can help us with. Staff is recommending approval. I don't know if Dan has any other comments you might
want to add. Also, in looking at this section, I was crafting the commission's direction. I saw sort of the need to propose slight modifications to subsection one to clarify the applicant for zoning map and text amendments to clarify what constitutes a bona fide interest in property, to clarify it's not only the person who has the property under contract, but also has the consent of the existing property owner. And also to clarify that the staff can proceed with proposed revisions to the land development code, because that's often how they are initiated. And so on top of what Jeff said, that's another subject of this ordinance. Thank you.
Dan. Here for the Henderson, remember that this would be kind of a good thing to have people specify exactly what codes are being superseded and which aren't. Is there any public comment on this?
I do have one question. So just so I understand, there would be an exhaustive list that would list all superseding code requirements. And should the applicant not hit one code requirement, then that would cause them to be in conflict with their approvals? Is that how it functions? I'm just...
The language of the code as a proposed, essentially says that the goal is to articulate every single instance where you're intending to supersede another provision in the land development code. To the extent that does not happen, then what it says is the default is the applicant or the property owner cannot take the position and enforce it against the city that a provision they did not articulate as superseding does not apply to the development. So at that point, the city would have the ability to enforce the other provision in the code against the project or the property. This code provision, though, does still allow general conflicts clauses and ordinances, but obviously the goal here is to make sure that your code changes when they're intending to say, in this zoning category, we're creating an exception to, let's say, a landscape requirement, that it expressly states that. And so that's the goal. So yes, they would still, without that specific reference to superseding, they have no basis, meaning the property owner, in asserting that they do not have to comply with another aspect of the code.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Dan? So Dan, did you just add something to the ordinance tonight?
No, it's in your
Yeah, I know it is, but you were saying some words and I don't have it in front of me right here. So I was just trying to make sure I understood that you were clarifying, you weren't saying let's stick in 12 more words.
I was just adding to Jeff's presentation that on top of the superseding clause provision, there's another change that's already in your packet. I was explaining is also part of the agenda. That.
Okay, thank you.
It's a clarification on the applicant standing for bringing forth zoning code changes.
Melissa.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to make a motion?
I would love to.
Great.
I move that we approve number 2102 request of the City of Winter Park for an ordinance to amend the zoning code related to superseding clauses.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should ask for public comment.
Sorry.
We have four people still in the queue at this time. If any would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and I will unmute you. There are no raised hands.
You're so excited to vote on that.
Okay, we will close public comments. Do we have a second to Melissa's motion?
Second.
Mary, can we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bornstein?
Yes.
Chairman James?
Yes. So why don't we take a short break before Bronze gets to dazzle us?
I second that.
Thank you.
Recording in progress.
Well, Mr. Stevenson, I hear you've got a little something you've been working on for a while.
Yes, very happy to be in front of you tonight and bringing the opportunity to have a public hearing for the Orange Avenue Overlay Land Development Code amendments on this fine October day. So let's see if, hey, it's working for me. Just once again, comp plan elements call for us to do this. And with an overlay, we have the comp plan, which gives the basics of the policy. And this is the meat of the document that we have very efficiently gone over in a number of work sessions and made some changes. And so this item was advertised for the September meeting, but it was continued unanimously by the board to tonight's meeting. Again, we have the original version that was out there that was dated August 2nd, but we've used that as our markup. And so just like last time, We created a red line version to make it easier for yourselves. And if I'm not mistaken, you use that red line version in your motion to make a recommendation of that to send to the city commission. If we have any, we will have a main motion that will be to do whatever the board chooses to do, adopt whichever version, and then we will have the opportunity to have amendments to that document. I am going to not go through that document tonight because much like Vanessa's, it's about 50 pages and we have gone through that as a group and marked it up. I will tell you that because we had, after your hearing on the comp plan amendment, we did have some amendments made by the commission at their hearing when they approved the land development code, or I'm sorry, the comp plan version. So we had to go back and make changes to the zoning code so that we have consistency in the document. And so those were just really those sub area policies and just very minor tweaks, nothing major. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to read it again in a number of times, but and with this one, if it was if it is approved and we send it forward, then we have the first reading with the city commission, which will be at the second meeting in October, and then we have our first to go back through the process, the comp plan. We had to send it to DEO, the Department of Economic Opportunity, and a number of other agencies in the state. And it is now going through the expedited state review process. It is, if anybody wants to track it online, it is ESR 2102 for Winter Park. You can look that up at in a website called the Florida Papers that you can find through the DEO website. It's very exciting to track the progress of your expedited state review, but this document here stays local. We do not have to send this to the state. They just look at the comp plan policies. And so anytime we have an amendment or anything tonight, what we will do is we will track that amendment, and then at the end, we will have a first, hopefully a first and a second on the main motion. And then we will go through the all of the amendments, read them one by one, take action on those, and then take final action on the main motion. And luckily, we have our wonderful city attorney here to make sure we are on track and doing the right thing. So, and roll call votes on everything, but staff does recommend approval of the ordinance to amend the land development code language to create the Orange Avenue Overlay District development standards. And with that, I am going to be happy to answer any questions that you have. We have the PDF version, the red line version that we can take a look at if there are any questions on anything, but otherwise, I'm going to just zip it and see if you got anything for me.
That horse to do.
I think people are holding back, Bronce. They really want to talk to you about things. So we're going to initially make a motion to approve the August 2nd.
You can make the motion to approve, as we did last time, the red line version.
Okay, that's so we that just
is,
cut.
If right. That is your choice to do so, it is. It okay. is a tool placed in there for assistance to yourselves, because otherwise we would be making a lot of amendments to the document.
Well, I make a motion that we approve the red line version of the ordinance to modify the land development code to create a zoning overlay district known as the Orange Avenue Overlay, OAO.
I'll second.
Before you vote, we need to have a public
comment. Actually, someone else should second. I take it back because I am recused from all voting in this.
So are there any public comments?
And I think at this point you would open the public hearing.
Open the public hearing. Yes, thank you.
We have six attendees online. If any attendee would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and I will unmute you. There are no raised hands.
And just for the record, Board Member Bornstein has recused himself from voting on OAO, including he did that for the comp plan amendment. He's also doing it for this ordinance. And the reason, as stated, is he has a small ownership in a parcel of land that's within the proposed overlay. I'm just doing that for the record because it's something that has to be disclosed. But was there a second on that?
No, we're waiting.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close the public comments since we have none. They're saving it up for the commission. And now we need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Mr. Stringfellow?
Yes.
Ms. Sarkeesian?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Chairman James.
Yes. Looks like you've got four yeses.
Very good. Well, thank you all for all your hard work as we've gone through this process. We've packed a lot of work sessions into to a couple of months here. And so the great thing is that now that we have this recommendation for approval, we will send it forward to the commission. And we will be able to, in this year, prior to the end of this year, we will have the Orange Avenue overlay. The opportunity, if things continue to go as they have gone, to have that adopted by the end of the year, which would be fantastic. Also, the property rights ordinance, and then something you will be seeing next month, which is the we have a fee, a multimodal impact fee. That is a pretty big deal for us. And you will have a good meeting next month. We may bring you more than trail mix.
Yeah,
it could be a long one. But thank you again for your efforts and putting this together. It's good to be getting towards the end, and having all that done by the end of 2021 would be a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah and whatever anybody celebrates, a happy one.
Yeah. I'd like to make a recommendation that at our upcoming work session, since on the agenda on the next meeting is going to be the PERD application.
Yes, sir.
That maybe we discuss again what that means.
Work session.
And entails at the work session.
Happy to do that.
There's anything else that anybody would like at the work session, you might take advantage and go run through the Corinne Drive situation.
That's going to be my suggestion is because we know that there will be a pretty good sized audience. It's one of those projects that started, got people kind of going, oh, wow, there's something going on here. And then went away for a while and then it comes back and there's, you know, confusion over which version is happening. And so the applicant is actually using this time to hold some more public meetings and to make sure everybody understands what is being proposed, which based on what was being looked at before, I would think this would be preferable. And so I think that is a good idea. We can have Jeff discuss that. And if you'll allow me, I don't have staff comments on here, but wanted to let you know that we have Nick Lewis is our newest staff member here, former super intern. Nick recently earned his Juris Doctorate from Stetson University. And so he brings an excellent skill set to our department, and we are thrilled to have him. We thought he was leaving, but it's just hard to leave the planning department in Winter Park. There's just something about it. So, we are getting back to full staff levels. We also have someone who's accepted the position that was vacated by Ms. McGillis when she left. So being staffed again will make Jeff and myself much, much happier. So we've got a lot of things coming up, and then we've got a lot of things we want to work with you on. As now that we've finished the work on the overlay, we've talked about some design standards. The gentleman who we've offered the position to has a good amount of experience with design standards. I wanted somebody who could draw a little better than myself, which that's a large applicant pool right there. But I think he's going to be very helpful in going through that. And as we talk about using our vision plan to create these standards, I think we have a very, very cool opportunity as West Fairbanks is starting to heat up. Is we've had the first project, the former PACOs, that we were able to put some of our standards in place there, but they worked with us on some standards that aren't exactly adopted. We would like to work with you all to get those adopted. And the great thing is we did a lot of work with the overlay that we can just hit copy and paste on some of those architectural standards, but we will have some future work sessions to go over those type of things. And then any other ideas or areas where you all think we should be looking. I think we've got a fantastic board here who's eager to not just sit up here once a month and vote yes or no, and to take a little action on things, and to really embrace the role of the local planning agency as called out in statute and be very involved in the process. And I think I know staff would be thrilled with that, and I think the commission would be thrilled with that as well. So
board got any thoughts? How about the lower tier down there?
Any tables good?
You have enough snacks down there?
Yeah. There are benefits to the small table.
Okay, I guess we are adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
I have a city attorney down here with us. So.